League's Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the Crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and León starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.
You have now arrived at Stadium and Gale.
Ladies and gents, welcome to another episode of Stadium Miguel. It's your favorite Uncle Silk.
It's Dan.
And Delatory.
Same corner, same time. How y'all boys feeling?
Good. You guys hear that thunder out there?
Hey, thunderstorm, man.
That came out of nowhere. How about that?
That you?
I guess that's why they call it the Tampa Bay Lightning.
Okay. And that's it. That's it for the podcast.
Nick, shut up shop. Yeah, but before
shut down the shop
podcast,
now.
Before we end the podcast, so you have to tell us, congratulations. You are a newly minted fiance.
What? Yeah. When does that mean?
What?
Bro, wild. Wild. Guy doesn't follow my blog, doesn't follow anything. What?
No, I had a busy weekend, man. I did not see any of this, man. I'm not a hater.
I've been liking you, that happened on Tuesday of last week.
Yeah, it happened Tuesday. I was podcasting from North Carolina. You didn't see my beautiful face last week because the Wi-Fi in the mountains would not support face and audio or video and audio.
I told my friends when I was about to propose, man. You know,
you knew you and
Danny. Oh, you know,
we talked about this on the pre-show. Yeah,
did we?
I popped the question on Tuesday.
Kush was big.
Oh, Kush there you was go. Big. My apologies, man. I gotta lower the cush.
Yeah. Congratulations.
Congrats, man. Bro. Congrats, man.
Tell the people.
Thank you. We were in North Carolina. I tried to plan a trip to Nashville, which is where our relationship officially began on a Vanderbilt road trip. She sniffed that out, tried to switch it up and go to Washington, D.C., where she was born.
How did she sniff it out?
She just knew. I'm not big at planning. I'm not big on remembering things. And I kept hitting her up being like, hey, we need to plan this trip. She was like, listen, something's up. Same thing happened trying to do DC. So I got her sister and her brother involved. Her brother lives in New York. Sister lives in Tallahassee. So kind of made it her family trip, which also then was it allowed all of them to be there.
That's dope.
For the celebration.
For sure.
So, hit a knee at a winery. We had an audience of like 30 random people who were just at the winery. They ended up getting video for us, cheering. So good times. I'm on a big retirement tour. At the end of it, they'll put my jersey in the rafters. Retiring from the game.
It's a farewell tour this year.
Farewell tour. I expect gifts at every stop. I expect gifts at every stop along the way, just like any of the other greats would get as they retire from their prospective leagues.
You just called yourself great.
Yeah. Self-appointed sometimes.
You know, sometimes you got to give yourself your own
nickname. Nick, congratulations. Hey, right. Very much looking forward to breaking out the dancing shoes for your wedding.
Misery loves company, man. Welcome aboard, Nick.
Thank you.
Congratulations, bro.
I got the chance to hang out with you for a couple hours on Saturday. You were in my town, my stomping grounds, 813.
Man, I love Tampa,
KushCon.
Man. KushCon.
KushCon.
It was good vibes. What you thought about it, Dan? Before I get into it, I enjoyed myself, man. Thanks for pulling up and hanging out with me.
Man.
What you thought of it?
Yeah, no, it was cool. It's not, as a partaker, it was an enjoyable experience. I think what the coolest part was how cool and chill everybody was, and just down to earth. You had a lot of great entrepreneurs. You've got a whole segment of new people that have founded businesses and have created really cool concepts and have done incredible things. The science behind you know, medical marijuana or THC or Delta 8 or whatever you want to talk about is incredible. I thought it was a really cool place to run into you and see you in your element. You were out there networking. I got to hang out with your boy Lion, who was awesome. And then I'm remembering
Lion, man.
I'm forgetting your other girl's name that was there as well. But awesome.
Sienna, Tori, Sienna, and also Lion videographer. We were hanging out, man. The Kushaw, that's my Kushaw's crew. I thought it was fun, man. Always a good time in Tampa. And the convention center is right there on the bay. So the walkout, the scenery, everything was pleasant. And then we went over to Matt's at I'm forgetting the name of the brewery right now, man. Man, because it's big, yeah. We went over to Matt's brewery.
You went over to
Bay Cannon. Bay Cannon. There we go. Went over to Bay Cannon, hung out with David and TJ and all those guys. I also hit the Florida State block party. That was pretty dope. But yeah, it was a good time in Tampa. What else you do, Dan? When I ran into Dan, he was having a rough one a little bit, man. He was using recovery mode.
I was in recovery mode. Yeah, I was out. I was up late. I wasn't even out late. Up late Friday. I just did dinner, Brooke and I, and then we went downtown. And then just, you know, one thing led to another. We were up until the wee hours of the morning. Saw a red moon in the horizon. That was super cool watching that set over Tampa. That was neat. But it was up late, woke up late, just wasn't in my element for the first probably 20, 30 minutes that you were there. Finally got to revitalize back to earth. And then what to do? Kind of just I don't remember what I did Saturday night. Kush was big. I know what I did. We participated. We went bowling. We just kind of hung out. It was a good time. Yesterday, not to drag this on too long, yesterday went boating. Beautiful weather here in Tampa for boating. Nice little sea breeze. So
nice.
So
coming to Dale Raceland, right?
It's on the docket. It's on the docket. Can't have people always knowing where my
locations are. Yeah, Ruiz might pull up on you. My bad.
We're a pull up. I'll let you know. I'll have my people talk to your people. With that. Let's get onto the show. What do you guys say? We got a big guest today from On Three. But before we do that, let's talk a couple of highlights from spring practice. But before we do that, as always, shout out to Alan Horn with State Farm Insurance. Visit him at Alan Horn, that's HORNE insurance.com, or give him a call at 706-692-2888. Auto, home, renters, life, boaters insurance, RV insurance, whatever it might be in Florida, Alabama, Tennessee, or Georgia. Again, allenhorninsurance.com or 706-692-2888. Thank you, Alan, so much for being a longtime sponsor of not only Stadium and Gale, but the Big Three or the Roll Up Network as well. Nick, want to ask and talk a little bit about spring practice. I know that you're going to have to jet out of here a little bit early before the podcast is done. Talk to us a little bit about what's going on in spring or in fall practice. Jeez Louise, we're already there. You're on mute, my friend.
Listen, there's some people that will tell you and spin beautiful pictures and tales of what we see at practice. And that's fine. Don't need to call anybody out. But we're watching individual drills. We're watching routes on air. As soon as like offensive linemen and defensive linemen line up against each other or defensive backs are, you know, playing press against the receiver, we're out of there. So it's really just kind of for me to see, is anyone dinged up? Who's not practicing? Who is practicing? Where are guys going? In terms of depth, you know, who's going first in drills, who's second. So that's really, you know, what I take away from it. And, you know, along those lines, I'm seeing Ricky Pearsall getting a lot of run. I think you're looking at the starting slot receiver there.
Very good.
Richard Garage is a little dinged up. Got to talk to some people. And he's not thought to be serious. He hasn't really been out of practice. And Jalen Kitten is a little banged up. And let me tell you, I know that I might be easy on punters, definitely an advocate. Jeremy Crawshaw has a tremendous mustache right now.
He's curling
on the sides.
He's also up to a kangaroo size, 207 pounds, I saw.
Ah, listen, the Maccas, as he would say, the burgers are a little bit bigger here. in America than they are in Australia. I think my guy's eating good. I have a vote for the Ray Guy Award. Not saying where it's going to go, but Jeremy's
on. But you're not saying where it's going to go.
Yeah. Well, also the reigning Ray Guy Award winner, who looks like he's a 40-year-old biker at Miami, also coming back for his last year.
Who also has an awesome stash.
Yeah, it's an Aussie thing.
You're on to something here, man.
Nick, but, I'm excited for some Boomin' Onion tweets.
Love it.
3 weeks from now.
Hashtag trademark. We need to put that on a shirt.
We do. We need to do an NIL deal for some Boomin' Onions. So, Nick,
we'll be back out there again today.
To the receiving core. What else you hearing? So you got Pearsall locking down the slot.
Locking down the slot. I think Trent Whittemore will probably spell him. I'll be interested to see. The last 3 years, it was just like – it was like a hockey line change. Like, you didn't see the receivers mixing up. And unless somebody, like, tapped the helmet and needed a sip of Gatorade, it was these three guys play together, these four guys play together, and then it's like line change. The next group would come in. I'm interested to see if you'll get – I think the starting three will be Shorter, X, and Pearsall. But will you see Shorter, Pearsall, Whittemore, Shorter, Pearsall – Ty Bowman, things like that, or if it's
Ty Bowman, you said he got 16
out of nowhere.
He
changed. Listen,
slide it in.
Yeah, change numbers. You told me higher on you,
but you told me, Nicholas, that this was a special team guy at best.
I told you that strictly based on the disrespectful number he was handed.
As a reminder, Nick, my number was number 29. Thank you very much.
Which is exactly why I told you that he would only be on special teams.
Right. Wasn't a good good point, Dan.
Thank you for helping me, Dan.
You're welcome.
But it looks like right now, like the guys that they did bring in the transfer portal, guys that are ready to contribute. But give me more of my man. He cooking out there?
Listen, I know I'm negative Nick, but I told you this was a bad wide receiver room. It was negative. I was wrong. Look at these guys. This is what they were ranked. And then the head coach went out and got a couple guys. So maybe I wasn't too wrong. I think Ricky Pearsall, it's interesting. And I'm telling you, we're watching routes on air. I can't tell you if he's getting great separation.
Right, it looks like
he is a guy based on his footwork and his quickness. And the little we have seen him, hand fighting at the line of scrimmage, because especially if you're an interior wide receiver, you're going to have guys playing a lot of press. It looks like he is a guy that should be able to create separation, that should be able to get open. I think he's really crisp in his route running, which is another way to create separation. I just don't see a lot of other guys that do that at Florida. Not to say that Justin Shorter can't be that or that Xavier Henderson can't be that, but I haven't seen them consistently create that separation and get open. And Ty Bowman is another guy that I think could be that. Not really sure if he'll play inside or outside, maybe a mixture of both. The receivers to me are going to be kind of a work in progress, and I'm not ready to throw the baby out with the bathwater or to crown them. But just from the couple practices that I've been to,
I've heard similar. They're just not making plays right now.
I would say the defense is ahead of the offense.
As they should,
four practices in.
Right.
As they should. Gentlemen, we have JD Pickell from On Three joining us. Silk, do you want to do a quick ad read for Gramco? And then Nick, if you want to welcome JD once that's done, and then we will pick up where we left off with this discussion.
Shout out to the great folks at Gramco. Be sure to visit thegramco.com. Use coupon code SG25 for 25% off all THC Delta 8 products. They have gummies of flavors. We have blue raspberry, fruit punch, and watermelon. All of it's gas. They also have tropical orange and a hard candy that's similar to a Jolly Rancher. Pre-rolls, wake and bake coffee, any CBD products you may need. They have sativa doll as well. Again, it's gramco.com. Use coupon code SG25 for 25% off of all THC Delta 8 products. Must be 21 years older or older to participate.
Welcome in, my guy. Even before he was a co-worker at On3, easily the best hair on the podcast right now. Former Division One and Ivy Leaguer,
JD Bakel.
Welcome to Stadium and Gale. Good to see you. How's life treating you right now?
Man, better after that intro. You kidding me? That was like the most prestigious introduction I've ever given. So I hope I can live up to that now, man.
You got the Ken doll haircut, man. You ready to hang out a little bit?
Yeah, man. Most famous Cornell grad since Andy Bernard, right?
Golly, I mean, these are some really prestigious accolades. I mean, we got Ed Marinero from Blue Mountain State, Coach Marty. He's a Cornell guy, so I mean, he set the bar pretty high. But I'm doing my best. Fired up to be on here with y'all, fellas. Appreciate you having me on.
I love that. So, go ahead.
Just tell people a little bit about your background. We had you on Gators Online breaking down some Anthony Richardson, breaking down some of what the offense and defense might look like at Florida. What gives you the qualifications to break down film?
Yeah, it's a very fair question. So I actually played my collegiate football at Cornell, like you were mentioning before. Played a myriad of positions from running back, slot receiver, wildcat quarterback. I mean, so I passed through a lot in college, to which I think gave me a pretty good sample size for different positions and different responsibilities on the field, to where I had to be accountable to know different things going on within the defense, and in turn be able to break down our defense to that regard. So I think that gave me a good gauge for the X's and O's, maybe a different vantage point than the average individual, or even average college athlete. From there, transferred after I graduated with an extra year of eligibility to Baylor University. Never actually got that career started because I got a few too many knocks to the noggin, so I had to retire before that thing got started. But ended up working out perfectly. I met my wife, got into sports media, and here we are, fellas. So I'm fired to be on here with y'all, and was fortunate enough to, like you mentioned, join On Three. I think it was, almost 3 months ago now. So fired up to be doing this now full time, and away we go.
Love that. So JD, unbiased opinion, we all have one. What are your thoughts on the Gators for this upcoming season? A lot of question marks, obviously. A new head coach, new quarterback, a lot of replacing talent that they're replacing a lot of talent that they lost, pardon me, to the NFL draft and graduation. So what are your thoughts going in to the 2022 year?
Yeah, I'm really excited for the Gators, honestly. There's a lot to be excited about, and I think obviously all of the buzz centers around AR, right? No more AR-15, just AR. But I was at the personnel symposium, last week here in Nashville, and there was a lot of people that were scouts and GMs, whatever, and one of the most interesting takeaways I had from that symposium was, I'm forgetting who the keynote speaker was, but someone spoke at that event and basically was like, hey, if you can get the quarterback position right, you have a really good chance to win some football games. And so obviously a lot of the excitement around Florida centers around what will AR do now, given the reins to the offense, because I mean, his skill set is just another level. And so if he can take that next step as a quarterback, and if they can tailor the offense to his skill set, which I think they will, I'm thinking they could do some really exciting things. So Nick told me before I got on here to talk about what the timeline was for them making a bowl game. So I'm optimistic, folks. I'm optimistic for when that can happen. I think could happen by October 15th. I think they could get out to 6-1 start. I'm concerned about Utah, but I mean, it really does come down to AR. If you hit at the quarterback position, like I think we all believe they could potentially with a guy like AR, I think there's a lot in front of them.
And, as my negative Nick moniker, which I've been dubbed, I don't know that I've earned, but I've been dubbed. I've been pretty bullish on Florida at 7-5, 8-4. I've been worried about a potential 0-2 start, but I think a lot rides on Anthony Richardson, and with him, the biggest question is going to be health. A guy that has spent more time in the training room than on the field. The doctors have kind of told him that, hey, once you got that knee cleared up, everything in your body is kind of connected, and your hamstring injuries could be because you're overcompensating for a weak knee, subconsciously even. But if Anthony Richardson can be healthy and play to what I think those that are here in Gainesville believe his ceiling is, we're talking about a guy I think could be a dark horse Heisman contender, a guy that if Florida wins enough games, could be even invited to that trophy ceremony.
Yeah, I mean, absolutely no ceiling for the guy. And I think y'all are probably going to allude to this here in a minute. But my other question mark around his success is, okay, now who's catching the ball for him, right? Like, who's going to be the playmaker on the outside? Because there's a lot of guys that I know in-house have been talked about, and there's a fair level of excitement around some of those guys. But in terms of on-the-field production, we're still waiting to see, you know, is that going to be Ricky Pearsall? I know he's a guy that y'all were talking about before I jumped on here that has garnered a lot of respect early on in his career there in Gainesville, and a guy that obviously transferred from Arizona State and has already earned that number one jersey, which I know is a big deal in Gainesville. So if Pearsall can be kind of his go-to guy, or if somebody, I mean, better yet, if you can have a solid number two step up if Pearsall is that number one guy, I think that's going to be a really big variable to success as well, which should go without saying.
I've been hearing about, like, reading a lot about, like, pace. I even heard some of the coaches on the offensive side of the ball talk about pace of the game. What do you think we should expect from AR, the offense, pace-wise? I know watching some Louisiana stuff, they slowed it down to win some games. So they are very good with the pace. What do you expect?
Yeah, I think you hit it right on the head. I think it will be a little bit less tempo just because of the fact that, or in my opinion at least, I think they're going to want to try and make it as simplistic as possible for Anthony Richardson. And so if that does end up being a case where, hey, let's speed it up and catch the defense on their heels, so be it. But I think more often than not, they want to kind of get into their set. We'll run the football. We'll do some motions to kind of make the defense tip their hand a little bit more to allow him to know what he's seeing pre-snap. And so I think as much as possible, they're going to give it a simple picture for AR. And I don't know that tempo will really be something that does that for them, just based on what we know about Billy Napier in his past. So I think they'll play to the quarterback's strengths, and Billy Napier has been very transparent about, hey, this offense is going to go as AR goes. So all that's to say, I don't think it'll be a super high tempo operation, but I wouldn't be overwhelmingly surprised if by game two or three or three or four, it's, hey, we just need to get him going and not thinking so much, so we're going to go up tempo. That could be a reality, but I think it'll be slower paced than anything.
JD, I want to ask you, just because you cover the national circuit certainly a lot more than we do, and certainly follow it more. You know, Florida's returning some pretty big names in their backfield. Naquan Wright, who, you know, had quite a few carries last year before getting hurt. They have former five-star Lorenzo Lingard. They add in Montrell Johnson, who was a 1,000-yard rusher at Louisiana. You know, and Florida's, you know, got some other players that may earn some time as well. Why is Florida's running back room not really talked about much on the national circuit?
Yeah, that's a great question. I think some of it has to do with some of those names not necessarily being, you know, the flashy names, the Bijan Robinson, and, you know, I'm trying to think of just other flash names you would throw in there, but none of those guys that you're writing in or keeping on Heisman watch, but guys that are obviously going to be crucial to the success of the Florida offense. And so I think there'll be names that you hear more about, obviously, as the season wears on. I think also it could be a deal where, hey, it's been a little bit more by committee, or it's going to be a little bit more by committee, we anticipate, this coming season. And so Montrell Johnson's a guy I'm really excited about. From what I was able to see, he looked good so far in what he's been able to do in Gainesville, and a guy they're excited about, obviously, as y'all have probably mentioned on this podcast before, being a Louisiana guy, being comfortable in the system. So I think he's got a chance to do some really good things this year. Now, do you want it to be strictly by committee? I think that depends on what the coaching staff wants. But if you could have a bell cow come out of this group, I would love to see Montrell Johnson be that guy.
I do wonder how well Naquan's doing. But on the defensive side of the ball, what are you hearing? I'm hearing the young freshman Devin Moore is making some waves at the opposite corner, aside Jason Marshall.
Yeah, I mean, I can't speak too articulately to just the youth they have there at the secondary position, but obviously, I mean, bringing eight guys back from that defense a year ago, a lot of leaders. And it's funny because it's, you know, football is just such a ultimate team sport. So, I mean, if you're able to get to the quarterback with those front seven, it makes it easier for everybody in the secondary. And, you know, it's so interesting how it builds off each other. And I think that's going to be something we see, especially on the Florida defense, just how complementary they're going to have to play at all three levels of this defense. So the youth, I'm not 100% sure on, but I know they got some guys that they're excited about coming back, obviously, with Miller and Cox and all those guys. It's going to be, I think, a improved bunch from a year ago.
And leading that charge is someone who I think you looked at for us in Patrick Toney. And he'll get a chance at I think he's just 31 years old, get a chance to run an SEC defense, call the plays, call the shots. What are your impressions of him? And what kind of defense do you expect Florida fans to see when it's now Patrick Toney's turn? That's a tongue twister.
Yeah, I love Patrick Toney. I think Patrick Toney is one of the rising stars in terms of, you know, defensive coordinators in our sport. One of the things that I love that he does so well is disguising his defense and taking shots in terms of, you know, applying pressure and dialing it up. But at the same time, he is calculated to the point where he's not leaving his defense exposed when he tries to run a blitz. I know we talked about it a little bit in the video, maybe a couple months ago, Nick, when you and I got connected, but they call it like sneakers is what they call it. So you have creeper, someone blitzing and creepers, somebody else dropping. Yeah, creeper. Yes. Sorry, creeper. Mm-hmm. But ultimately, yeah, I mean, I think the way that they're able to not leave themselves overly exposed is going to be obviously a really strong thing for that defense. So in terms of what Florida fans can expect a defense that's going to be physical, a defense that's going to be fast, and a defense that's going to be, what's the right word? They're not going to be bashful with the kind of defensive pressures they're dialing up. It's not going to be, okay, let's sit back here and try and get a stop. It's going to be, let's go try and make something happen, be the hammer, not the nail.
Right.
JD, I want to ask you a little bit more nationally, you know, or I guess still in the SEC, you know, Florida has a relatively challenging schedule on the west side of this conference. And then certainly the East Division is getting a little bit stronger. You know, Kentucky has a second string all-SEC quarterback. Tennessee seems to be getting a little bit better. South Carolina made some improvements. You know, what is your, prognostication on Florida's season based on the talent of other teams, not just their team?
Yeah, a lot of variables. I think the portal has made that a super interesting conversation because it's a different conversation now than it would have been, you know, what are we saying, 5 months ago with all the guys that have moved around. So South Carolina is a team that I'm watching really closely. I mean, how for real are they? What kind of product is Spencer Rattler going to be for them this coming year with all the excitement he has around him and people still obviously remember some of his shortcomings at Oklahoma. I think the best case for Florida is somewhere around a 9-win team. Now, the worst case scenario, I think you're still a 6-6 program. I mean, they're still just based on the roster alone. If you were just to roll the ball out there and have these guys go at it, you know, no practice, no nothing, they probably have enough talent to be a bowl eligible team. So I think 6-6 is probably the floor, but depending on what, I mean, that really is the key variable. How much do you get from a guy like AR? And if he's going to go out there and, you know, be the man that we all think he can be, and they put it together in year one under Napier, I think they could very, very easily be a 9-win team.
Just realized when you said Spencer Rattler, he probably has the same hat that I have on, played pretty well against a checked out Gator team in the Cotton Bowl. What is the national outlook on Florida? Obviously, I don't think it's a surprise, and our listeners, Gator fans, would even concede it's probably Alabama and Georgia in the SEC. But then when you come out of SEC media days, Florida's not even picked to finish behind Georgia. You've got Tennessee and Kentucky ahead of them. Just where I guess, is the disconnect then? Because you seem, you know, pretty high on Florida. Where is the disconnect in maybe what we think? Because we're kind of on the inside and deep into it every day. Where's the disconnect from what we're saying or seeing in Florida being picked to finish behind three other teams in their own division?
Yeah, I think some of that has to do with the way these teams finish the season, obviously, and Florida's bowl game against UCF probably leaves a snapshot for some people in their minds, and AR is still sort of an unknown commodity when it comes to the national scale. And you know, everybody knows names like Hendon Hooker, you know, and they see the 31-3 stat line, and everyone knows about Jaden Daniels, and oh, that was a big get for LSU and Brian Kelly. And so I think so much of the sleight of hand right now in the college football offseason, if you will, is people remember snapshots, they remember names, and Florida doesn't necessarily have a ton of those in their corner right now. Now, snapshots and brand names don't mean a thing when you roll the ball out there and play when, you know, they welcome Utah to the Swamp. So, you know, this all will come out in the wash, but to answer your question, I think that's why people are sort of sleeping a little bit on Florida because AR is still so unknown by a lot of people nationally. And there's just so much buzz within other programs right now. And people want to believe that Tennessee's back. People want to believe that Brian Kelly is going to be the man to bring LSU back to an 11-win team in year one or whatever it may be. So with all that being said, I think the brand names are great for right now, but when it's time to play football, people are going to find out about AR. And so I'm excited for that to happen.
Yeah. Tell them, Zayden. They're about to find out what's up, man. I'm the biggest AR cheerleader alive, man. He's about to shock the world, no doubt.
What is it, JD?
About? On the way. Go ahead, my bad, Dan.
What is it about the media? Is it a lack of another name that has so many people infatuated with Will Levis from Kentucky? I mean, not hating on the guy, just you know, watched him last season. Stats didn't look exceptional. Lost, you know, two of his big wide receivers. You know, going to the NFL, Wando Robinson. I'm forgetting the other guy's name right now. But what is the kind of the media's infatuation, not necessarily yours, but the media's infatuation with what they see potentially out of him?
Yeah, I think the buy-in is probably he looks the part, right? Big body, big arm. He's going to wow you if he's doing the, you know, the workout videos and you watch him the cones. And I mean, I think there was a video when he was still at Penn State, the ball just jumps out of his hand. So I think the eye test is something that a lot of people get excited about, and he passes that with flying colors. I'll tell you what, he was a undraftable guy for me. Once I saw him do the mayonnaise and the coffee, I mean, I gave all of my Will Levis stock back. Said I don't want this anymore. Horrible decision.
Then he ate the banana. Yeah. Then he ate the banana with the peel still on it.
It's nuts. It's psychotic behavior. I wouldn't want to trust a guy like that.
You know, I wouldn't trust him with the keys to my offense. But that's just me. But yeah, I mean, I think we're so married, and we're starting to get more and more away from it. But the big 6'4", 6'3", guy, 230 pounds, whatever it may be, like kind of that NFL mold, if you will, which again is slowly but surely starting to deteriorate. I think that's where the hype comes from. You know, he'll have to prove it again this coming year if he is going to be that first round kind of quarterback that people say he is. So I'm again, I'm not down on Will Levis at all. I just think there's still something to be desired in terms of production standpoint from a touchdown interception ratio and things of that nature. So he'll have his chance for sure. But I think to answer your question, that's probably where the juice comes from is the eye test.
And is Alabama just going to steamroll everybody this year? Is that kind of what we should be looking out for?
We said it. We Silk and I said it. Like Nick Saban is talking to a guy that knows he's gonna embarrass some teams this fall.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Yeah, it's scary, I mean,
but I'm gonna enjoy the show, man. Well,
yeah, I mean, from what I've seen, it's Alabama versus the field. It's kind of the way it feels, right? I know it's the Florida podcast. So I want to tread lightly here, and I know y'all don't play.
No, do your thing. You know what's up.
Yeah. Yeah. We said the same thing.
We lie to these people. They know what's up. We lie when it's the game start point.
Yeah, I mean, I love it. I mean, it's a little bit frightening for me listening to Saban talk because anytime Nick Saban says something, there's always a glimmer of the Saban standard versus what reality is. Like he'll talk down on his team and it's like, y'all won by 50. What are you talking about? Why are you saying your team's not where you want them to be? But everything that he's saying thus far is like, yeah, good group, love coaching them, a lot of good leadership, good focus. And it's just a lot of positives to where I'm like, you sure? Like there's no, but we need to this, but we, you know, there's no like Saban negativity somehow baked into that. So to me, that says if he feels good about his team and this guy likes to be, you know, Johnny Raincloud on his programs, I would be a little bit, you know, concerned if I got Bam on my schedule. And also they've got blood in their mouth, right? Like they have, I think I saw some article in On3 talking about how they have, or maybe it was Bama Insider, how they have the semifinalist or the runner-up trophy sitting in their cafeteria. I'm like, you got to be a different kind of sadistic to look at that every day when you're having your French fries and cheeseburger in the cafeteria at Bama. Like they're on a mission. So God help everybody else.
He's like, yo, coach, I'm just trying to get some pancakes after 6 a.m. workouts. I don't need to see this runner-up trophy. He's like, yeah, you do. You need to see that. He's like, and we got the highlights of the game on the TV for you. Enjoy that. Enjoy that while you pour your syrup.
You have to wear your jersey crazy, all year round. All right. My program.
Go ahead, if there's anybody that can knock Bama off, who would it be? I know he's going to run up. He's going to be ready for Georgia. I thought he would have beat Georgia last year had he had his starters that last game, his receiver that last game. But is there anybody that you think could threaten Bama?
Gosh, I'm thinking, man.
The Monstars.
You would – I mean, I guess we'll kind of see when some of these teams start to show us who they are. I mean, it'll be a rivalry game for Tennessee, obviously. I mean, that'll be a fun one for us to watch. But I just – I don't see anybody sneaking up on Alabama. And maybe it'd be different if they had, you know, won the deal last year and they were kind of coming back and there was this whole repeat kind of mantra behind them. Right. But just it's a motivated Nick Saban team, which is just such a scary thing. And so if there is a team, I don't know that it's in the regular season. Maybe someone like Ohio State gets into a track meet with them and maybe the secondary isn't totally repaired and, you know, Jackson Smith and Jigba goes for 300 again like he did in the Rose Bowl. But, man, I'm looking across the SEC and I don't see anybody. I mean, Georgia would be the – you know, conventional pick there, but even Georgia, I mean, I don't even know if Georgia's a playoff team this year, to be honest with you, based on what they're losing on the defensive side and who Stetson Bennett is and what we know about them. So I think it's Alabama in the field, and I don't think they're going to lose a game in the regular season, folks.
Already.
What is that? The Imperial March? Cue the music.
Yeah, exactly.
Cue the music on the edit for the podcast tomorrow.
Well, I appreciate it. JD, really enjoyed having you on. Hopefully we can have you on during the regular season a little bit more and talk to you about where the Florida Gators are at present, but let everybody know where they can follow you on social media and then plug your show for a bit.
Yeah, absolutely, man. Would love to get back on here, and I appreciate y'all having me on. You can find me on Twitter at JD Patel. We do the Hard Count on a daily basis on the On3 YouTube channel, so go ahead and check that out. But no, this has been a blast, man. Would love to come back on, and I'm sure we'll have to have y'all on when we start talking more Gators here in the very near future. But excited. It's almost time for those pads to start talking and for us to do a little more watching.
Just a couple more weeks away. Well, JD, we appreciate
it. Congrats on getting that YouTube to 10K. That was a big milestone for you guys in a pretty quick time there.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thank you. I appreciate it. Really, really great team here. So it was definitely a group effort. But no, I appreciate it. That's very kind of y'all. Excited for what the fall holds.
Absolutely. Well, thank you so much, JD, and we'll talk to you soon.
Appreciate it, y'all. Talk to you soon.
JD Patel with On3. Very enjoyable conversation with him. But do want to pick up with where we left off. Nick, we have you for another 25 minutes or so. So want to talk a little bit more about where we are at practice-wise. I know we left off talking about receivers and a little bit about the defense and which side of the ball is ahead of the others right now. And I know that we kind of assumed the defense would be ahead of offense just as the nature of how things normally go. But, Nick, what else can you share from practice or Silk? Obviously, chime in on anything you've heard as well.
Yeah, I think we talked to Denny Thompson, Zach Albaverde and I, and I think we had seen that AR looked a little bit better in the spring game, just in terms of decision-making, passing, the way the ball is coming out of his hand. And Denny said that they were probably 30% of the way retooling his throwing motion and retooling who he is as a passer, and they're probably 80% of the way when that clip of AR throwing the ball a quarter mile at the Manning Passing Academy comes out. I think you're seeing that. I think the ball has always come out of his hand really well, but just the decision-making, the poise, talking about throwing guys open, not throwing to open guys. And I think that's something you're going to see with AR more this year. Jack Miller looks okay. I'm not trying to talk down on him, but like, the difference between AR and the rest of the quarterback room is significant. And that's why I say that so much of Florida's success will hinge on Anthony Richardson, his play and his health.
Thanks.
Nick, any other surprises? I do want to talk a little bit about where we're starting to hear some names of some younger individuals that are new to the program that have a chance for some significant playing opportunities. So I want to touch on some of those. Some of the names that I've heard the most of probably are freshman Devin Moore.
Stock up. Hey, yeah. Buy your stock now because the prices will be going up October.
The price today isn't tomorrow's price, right? So talk to us a little bit. I know Kamari Wilson has been getting some playing time as well, but who are some of the other younger names that folks should be on the lookout for? Not necessarily saying they're going to start, but.
Right. I think Devin Moore is taking advantage of an opportunity. Jaden Hill has not been able to practice. Billy kind of downplayed it, but obviously as a guy coming back from knee surgery, you have to worry, has there been a setback coming back from that, and what will be your availability in the long run? I worry about Jaden Hill, and we'll be anxiously at every practice that we're able to attend to see if he's gotten back to the field yet.
But as we Devin said Moore's, last year, Nick, the season goes as Jaden Hill goes. So
No, this season damn sure is going as Jaden Hill.
His last year it did.
We're going to break that right now.
So Devin Moore has an opportunity.
I think that take is what derailed the season.
Yeah, that's my bad. That's on me.
I do think, regardless of Jaden Hill's health, I think even if he was there, I just think Devin Moore physically brings something totally different than the rest of that room. Jason Marshall's a big kid in an SEC body, but the rest of that room, even Kimber, I think he's talented, but they're smaller than Devin Moore. So from a physical standpoint, and I think he's him. I think he's one of them guys that's going to have a brick outside one day. But I think regardless of Jaden Hill's health, I think he still would be pressing for snaps.
His pronouns are he and him. He is him.
He is him.
That's going to be an interesting one because a guy like Kimber, obviously missed last season with the shoulder injury, but has experience. A guy like Avery Helm, he's had his own injuries at Florida, but has playing experience. Devin Moore, when he runs through the tunnel at 7 p.m. on September 3rd, that's the first time he's going to feel what it's like to play in a college game. How do you handle that? Are you ready for that? Really intelligent kid, really smart, super mature for his age. I expect him to be able to handle it. But even then, that first day, that first game, you could be a 30-year-old freshman. It's going to take your breath away, just feeling 90,000, a night game in the swamp, cameras around. He's a guy that I would expect to play well at the beginning of the season, but one that you would hope would get better week by week.
And then how are Osiris Torrance looking? How's the offensive line looking? Mm-hmm. I know that a lot of folks are happy and excited about that, but obviously you're not going to see a lot of practice. You're only seeing a lot of one-on-ones. I'm sure you're not seeing a lot on the offensive line, but talking to people and folks around the program, what's the word there in Florida strength?
One more stock low now, but I think we'll rise on defense before I go to offense is Tyreek Stapp. He's someone who I think there was a lot of immaturity in him and in his approach last year. He had a child in the offseason, and I saw kind of what that did for Dominic Easley between his junior and senior years. And I think that's changed Tyreek Stapp's purpose. And now it's not, I have to go to class. I have to do this. I'm doing this to provide for somebody else. And I think he's someone you've been asking who's going to take the pressure off Brenton Cox on one side of the ball. And I think that first answer is Princey Umelalen. I think that's close. That's close as I'll ever get.
Yeah.
And then behind Princey is Stapp. So that's someone who I'm really excited. And sure, we'll put it out there. That's a little St. Thomas bias as well. But I think he's someone that's gonna shine. Osiris Torrance, I think, will finish. He started the year.
Real quick.
Let's hold off. Yeah, go ahead.
No, real quick. On defense, I agree with you, Tyreek Stapp. I mean, even from a weight room perspective, he's looking like a grown man. Shout out to Lloyd Summerall, too. He's looking great. But another young one, Shamar James. Been hearing a lot about him.
Mm-hmm. He's getting run with the ones. And I don't know if that's
beautiful.
Putting Ventrell on a pitch count or putting Amari on a pitch count. These are guys that are in their sixth and their fifth year. They know the defense, but Shamar has been getting some run with the ones, super athletic. It was interesting to talk to Amari Burney and say that Ventrell and himself have taken Shamar under their wing. Like, hey, and it's not necessarily
a perfect setup. That's a perfect setup. A 6-year beautiful senior and a freshman. That's a perfect setup.
And it's not even necessarily like, listen, Shamar, I think, is probably more physically gifted than both of them. We'll probably be able to do things on the field that maybe Ventrell and Amari just couldn't. But you've got guys who are 6 and 5 years into their college career telling you what they see. And you're not seeing that yet because the game hasn't slowed down for you
at
the college level yet. So it is a perfect, call it like an intern year for Shamar. You've got two guys who have been through, I think Ventrell Miller committed to Steve Spurrier. They've been through some defenses. Some defensive coordinators. They've seen different things. this is the best opportunity for Shamar James. And it's not even just on the field. It's, hey, this is how we take notes in film study. So right. that you have that for yourself later when you're going back, because you have to do the extra work on your own. Hey, here's the notes I have from what coach said mm-hmm. as I'm sitting on my iPad, you know, back in the dorm room.
Right. There's just habits that you're going to learn and pick up from them that are just yeah. naturally going to yeah. be there being in the same room as folks like those guys. So that's great.
The biggest thing I think Shamar James being able to do this is the first time in a long time we're getting guys that are highly rated at linebacker, but they're not projects. Dan Mullen and the crew, they were bringing talent to guys that were freshmen, highly rated, but they were guys, they had to learn the position. Shamar James already know how to play linebacker. He already want to get in the mix. So that's an advantage as well. Don't have to coach some natural linebacker instincts.
Yeah.
Nick, sorry, I know we interrupted.
Well, and there was one more defense that you mentioned, Kamari Wilson. I think he has a chance, but it's going to be Torrance and it's going to be Trey Dean to start the year. Like, that's just what it is. He yeah. will have an opportunity to come in and get some reps, get some snaps. And what do you do with those reps and snaps? Do you make the coaches have to have a difficult conversation mm-hmm. with a fifth-year senior or a third-year sophomore? Or does your play warrant the reason why you weren't starting to begin mm-hmm. with? So it's going to be on Kamari, but the staff loves Sam Patrick. Tony's really, really high on him and someone to definitely watch this year and certainly in the future.
Yeah, I mean, everybody's going to get an opportunity to get better, right? I mean, Kamari Wilson trying to vie for that spot to play is going to obviously get better, you know, through his work ethic and everything else that he needs. And then obviously those other guys, you know, Torrance, Dean, whoever else might be in the mix there are going to have to play better. And so they're ultimately going to have to get better to make sure that they continue to get their time. It does not seem like there's really any seniority or anything that we're dealing with that we saw from a previous coaching staff, you know, playing into effect here. Now, certainly, you know, we'll see when the season comes, but from everything that we're hearing out of practice, it seems like everybody's getting a fair share, you know, fair share and a fair opportunity to get on the field in the fall. So.
Mm-hmm.
Offensive side of the ball.
Did we speak about the Chris Thomas coming back on campus at defensive tackle?
We did not yet.
All right, cool.
So we can talk a little bit about that. Chris Thomas does join. He was one of the guys that was removed from the team back in, I think it was June or July, late June, early July, when the rest of the guys, Mordecai McDaniel and DeMarcus Bowman, were removed from the roster as well. He is welcome back. Nick, anything else? I know that he worked on a few things, but he is back on the roster and back on the practice field.
I think the biggest thing with him was taking your academics serious, going to class, going to your study yeah. sessions, meeting with your tutors. Like, these are things that when I was 18, 19, 20 years old, I didn't want to do. When I was playing D3 baseball, hey, you got to go to study hall. I was like, I don't want to spend my night in study hall. And I think you realize, okay, that's fine. That's a decision you make, but you're not going to be on this football team if you're not doing those things. So it wasn't anything with him workout or football related. There's some off the field stuff he just had to get right. So good for him for fixing that and getting back. It's a position that Florida badly needs depth in. And we talked about them whiffing on some guys like you, they need active and able bodies at defensive tackle.
Yeah. I saw Graham McDowell. Is it Graham McDowell? Griffin McDowell is also playing defensive tackle this year, moved from offensive line. Looks like a completely different dude. So shout out to him. Oh, no. Obviously been putting a lot of work in the weight room. But if you look at him, looks almost unrecognizable.
Oh, the twinkle in Dan's eye there, Silk.
Might be the guy that I hinged the season on, Nick. Maybe the season goes as well as Griffin McDowell. Who knows?
I would not allow that. Not under my watch. No. Not under my watch when you say such a thing like that on here. Nice Dan. body transformation, but yeah. Dan almost got a little man crush. Like, you start blushing a little bit, bro.
Yeah, it was a man crush. Got very close to his computer screen there, too.
I was looking at the roster here trying to find some weights, some updates, but we'll just leave it at that. Go check it out for yourself. Do it at home. It's a not safe for work conversation. Nick, talk to us a little bit about the offensive line.
I'm still really high on the offensive line. I think it'll take them a little bit of time to gel. That's a position group where you have to be working, you know, really in tandem. Like, the X and the Z receivers don't need to be as in tune with each other and what they're doing on a given play as the left guard and the center, right guard and the right tackle. I think from left to right, I think that the line is veteran, a bunch of guys who have talent, experience, and a ton of coaches. There's like 8 guys out there every practice, like working with the offensive line. And I think Osiris Torrence is one of those guys who was on a preseason list and will be at that same spot in a postseason list. Like, he looks like a guy that hasn't given up a sack in 3 years in college. So I'm excited to see him play. I thought Josh Braun going into the spring, I thought Josh Braun would take the starting spot at right tackle, but I think that's going to be Michael Tarquin. It'll be interesting to see when the games start, how do you stick with 5? Do you move guys in and out? I know John Hevesy, you'd see, you know, 2-3 guys, you know, being changed throughout a game and in and out. It'll be interesting to see there, but I like 4 is 5. I don't know how much really quality depth you have. You know, a guy like Jake Slaughter, I think, is coming on. Richie Leonard's coming on there at center to spell Kingsley. But I think they're still searching for, you know, those 8 to 10. You've got 5 for sure, 6 for sure. Can you get to 8, 9 offensive linemen that you trust before September 3rd?
Perfect. So any more thoughts on offensive or defensive side of the ball, spring or fall practice from what we've heard?
No, man. It's pretty much the gist of it. I'm done. I got it.
Love to hear it. All right, boys. Nick, I know you've got to leave here shortly. So, but before we get into a little bit of a draft, we'll get into a little bit of recruiting, some national news, kind of stuff like that. We want to welcome a new sponsor to our show. So support for today's episode is going to come from our friends over at True Classic. New sponsor offering some of the best fitted t-shirts that you may want. If you have a little bit of a dad bod like me, check them out. You'll get 25% off of your order if you go to trueclassic.com and enter code SG25. For 25% off of your order, and you'll get free shipping on shirts over $100. Really good stuff. Have a couple shirts. Silk got to wear one the other day. We got some merch coming your way, but athletic tees, polos, regular t-shirts, whatever you might want. Really good stuff, really good quality. TrueClassic.com, promo code SG25. One-stop shop for all men's essentials. I think you guys will be really impressed. So trueclassictees.com, SG25. Sound a little bit like Colin Cowherd as I was reading off. Kind of noticed that. I have to make sure that I correct myself and don't get sucked into that wormhole. Nick, Corey, last week we had a debate on we didn't have a debate. We had a draft for cornerbacks and safeties. I believe mm-hmm. that I won the cornerbacks. Not a big deal. My first win on the season. Safeties came in a very distant third, as usual. Silk won the safeties last week. So we're back at it this week. We're going to pick 2 defensive ends, 2 defensive tackles, and 2 linebackers to complete our teams.
This is very tricky.
Yeah. 2 DEs. 2 defensive tackles and 2 linebackers. Spin the wheel. I didn't have this set up yet. So again, we can do it. 1 linebacker, 1 outside linebacker, or however you want to best
edge rusher.
Select your team. So if I share my screen here, share screen, Chrome tab.
I think I got hosed a little bit. My safeties were not winners, and I mean we were bringing pain with my safeties.
Yeah, no, you like I said, I don't think people understand history. Little Lewis Oliver, Jarvis Williams, we're shaking and we're moving out there. Silk, congratulations, you get to pick first, and then so we'll remove your name, and then we'll spin again.
First overall.
Oh, love it.
Nick. All right. So we are. So again, 2 defensive ends, 2 defensive tackles, 2 linebackers. So I'll start with you.
Give me defensive line, defensive end, first overall pick, Javon Kearse. Give me the freak off the edge.
Are we considering
him a DN or a linebacker?
I think he played linebacker at UF. So whatever you want to put him at, but I think that he I'll put him at linebacker.
Then that's what we're doing. Okay. Then linebacker.
All right, so I'm gonna go defensive end. The single season sack leader, Alex Brown. Okay. To the squad.
Nice.
I like that. I'm going to go, let's see, I'm going to choose a defensive end, and I'm going to go with Carlos Dunlap.
Nice.
And then I'm going to follow that up with linebacker Channing Crowder.
Oh, Dan. Unbelievable. It's a win-win situation for me here because Dan fumbled the bag again.
Big time.
I'm going linebacker.
Brandon Spikes?
I was between him and another. We'll see if Silk gets the other. Maybe he won't. I am going to go Brandon Spikes as my first linebacker.
So I almost did that, but I'll explain later. Go ahead.
I go back-to-back now, right?
Yeah, you do.
All right. I'm going to go defensive tackle. This is tricky, but we're not that deep in defensive tackle, so I got to do something early. Well, you feel me? Trying to see who I want here. This is tricky. I could easily lose this because Dan dropped the bag and gave Nick an opportunity here, man.
Mm-hmm.
You just gave him Spikes, man. I did not foresee that happening. You forced my hand. Give me. Dang, bro. I feel like I got a defensive end as well, man. I'm sorry I'm holding up the show, but I want to win. I'm gonna go. Let me go. Mike Peterson at linebacker.
Okay.
Then I'll come back to. I need a defensive end, bro. Give me Jack Youngblood, defensive end.
Okay.
That was gonna be my pick. So I'm just gonna go ahead and win the linebacker group and take Wilbur Marshall. I got Brandon Spikes.
I didn't want to go too old.
I have the two best linebackers. In Florida football history. So we've won.
Not in my opinion, if you consider in Javon Kurse a linebacker.
He's an edge rusher.
You got him in the linebacker group, bro. I didn't choose the rules, but.
Okay.
It's on you, Dan. Go and fumble the ball, bro. We're waiting on it.
Go ahead and fumble, Dan. Kick it around a little bit.
Yeah, Wilbur Marshall is a good pick. I forgot about him, and I normally go old school.
And I got Jay Youngblood, so you really screwed.
Yeah, I'm really struggling. I'm going to pick Kevin Carter for defensive end. Oh, I'm struggling here a little bit, boys. Defensive tackle, I'm going to go. This is tough. I'm between a guy that only played a year at UF, but really thrived in the NFL and is connected to UF still. I'm just going to go with Sharif Floyd and hope you guys don't catch his name later.
My other DN, I'm going to go young. Give me the sixth guy. Dante.
Not your turn.
Oh,
Nick,
shit.
Were you going to put Dante Fowler?
Not your turn.
All right. Well,
go ahead.
Nick, you have the opportunity to steal Dante Fowler.
I was going to go DT, but I think I'll be fine there. We're going to take Dante Fowler.
Dante Fowler on the
edges.
What a scumbag, man.
Scumbag move was just to jump ahead and cut in line.
That was first. It's my goal, right? Okay.
Yeah.
I gave up my pick. That wasn't smart. Give me Jarvis Moss at the other defensive end.
All right, Jarvis Moss.
So it's got the best special teams right now.
Yeah.
Best special teams.
Yeah, the cock block.
Yeah.
Yeah, the greatest block of all time.
That was the craziest game I've ever been in my life.
Defensive tackle?
You need two defensive tackles.
I haven't chose one.
No, sir.
Neither of us have.
I'm the only one that picked one.
This is going to be... Who you got? Sharif Floyd off the board.
Yeah, that's it.
Off the board? That's it?
Yep.
Give me Jared McCord in. How about that?
Okay.
Just off the top of my head. I'll take Gerard Warren, not Jared McCoy. Gerard Warren.
That's a big difference.
Gerard Warren.
Just leaving. You guys are. I'm going a little bit older, I guess, but in my picks. But I think you guys are leaving me like the best players at their respective positions. I'm gonna take.
So
Ellis
if you
Johnson.
Choose Ellis Johnson, okay. So that's what I was gonna pick. I've learned that people don't follow history for some reason. But Nick, I like that that pick for you.
I got on my list. I just like that time I wasn't really paying attention to like defensive tackles and stuff like that. I'm like that.
I mean, defensive player of the year, part of three SEC championships, 6 forced fumbles in his career. I mean, I got a stud. I got a guy.
Gerard Warren is a gangster, man. I like Gerard Warren. He's an absolute gangster.
Warren was incredible. I'm going to go. Man, this is tough.
I know who your guy was that you were alluding to, Dan.
Who's that? Trace?
Yep.
So thought about him, but then you know there's Brad Culpepper, right? But Warren is the guy that I was actually thinking of, but I wasn't going to pick him because most people don't seem to know who the Gators are after 2013 on the internet. so I'm going to go Scott Brantley because he was multi award winning. I'm gonna lose, guys.
Yeah,
Once you missed those spikes, it was over, man.
Yeah.
You fumbled the bag pretty quickly, Dan.
I did. And then
he makes a pick. Goes, I'm gonna lose. This is not my week.
It's not my week.
oh my
and
god.
Then what do I need? I need a defensive tackle.
This is a patchwork team, man.
Yeah, his team is not gonna win a lot of. Of awards. So I'm just going to go with them. Stadium and Gale alum, Brad Culpepper.
Well, you sound so sad losing Brad, man.
It's not Brad's fault. It's my fault. Shout out to Brad. Great football player. Definitely one of the GOATs for UF. Has a brick, but I just think putting him on my team, we aren't necessarily set up for success, Nick.
So I got a D-tackle now?
Yeah.
Oh, and has Easley been taken?
I don't think so.
No.
Yeah,
bro.
We got Dominic Easley to put next to Ellis Johnson. And this could be a clean sweep for me this week.
Who is your other linebacker besides Spikes?
Brandon Spikes and Wilbur Marshall, best linebackers in Florida football.
Yeah, history, Nick's going to win this one because Dan dropped the bag. We can't even it out, man, after such a Channing Crowder whiff like that. Bro, how you go with Channing over Spikes, man? No slight to Channing, but.
Yeah, that was my bad. Yeah. I realized that once I said it.
I'm glad you said it.
And then he stole my pick because I picked too early. Like, we set Nick up nice this week.
How about we just cut this segment from the show? We'll pretend it never happened.
Yeah, leave it in there,
know
buddy.
YouTube, and we'll do it again next week.
Yeah.
Leave it in there.
Yeah. Soak, you need to pick one more defensive tackle.
Oh, I got another D-tackle. Man. I'm just gonna go like unconventional because you know Nick already got the win, so I'm gonna keep it cribby. I'm gonna go Ray McDonald.
Oh, Ray Mac. All right. Well, Nick, congratulations on your win this week. Even a blind squirrel finds a nut.
I can't win every week, especially if I'm like you're giving him Brandon Spikes.
Yeah.
What round did you pick, Channing?
First round? Yeah, that was bad. I realized my mistake early.
Yeah.
And then I was just fighting uphill the whole time.
To peel the curtain back, this is Dan's segment. Dan is the one that came up with the segment and has picked the positions that we're picking every week.
Yeah, but I've picked third each time.
Yeah, that's the wheel. That's not us.
Can't predict the wheel.
Even the wheel can't predict, like, can't predict the first round is nuts, man.
That is nuts. Yeah, yeah. Maybe I just got too excited about the idea of Channing. Who Channing Crowder is as an idea. Mm. Oh, man. Let's give a quick shout out to our friends over at Alumni Hall. They just got in their Peter Millar football season shipment. If you are a golfer or you wear polos, I'm a Peter Millar wearer, huge fan, best products out on the market. They are probably every man's favorite polo, and they are going to be carried right next to the Nike and Jordan coaches polo. Say that?
They like that?
They're fire. Yeah. Oh, they're fire. They're a little pricey now, but definitely fire. So they're going to have a lot of the new really cool designs, a lot of great golf designs as well for you. And they're also going to have a great selection of Southern Tide and Cutter and Buck polos as well for you. As always, alumnihall.com or visit them on Archer Road, the best place in Gainesville to get all things Gator. Nick, I know you have to run, my friend. So farewell. Thank you so much. We're going to wrap up the show here. Silk got a couple of pieces of recruiting news as we get into. It does seem like there is going to be two announcements this week. Kelby Collins, a defensive tackle that is between Florida and Alabama, is going to be announcing on Saturday. And then there's word that Cam James is also going to be announcing potentially on Sunday. So it could be a big week for the Gators. But any thoughts or anything that you've heard on recruiting elsewise?
I feel good about Kamar. Visited our campus a lot of times this this off season. Cameron, I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I feel good. I feel good about Cameron. He visited us a lot this off season. Guy they need to close on. I heard Georgia was creeping in. So a guy they just need to close on. So I feel good about his decision coming up. And Shelby, we've been trending for. We got the last visit. Yep. It is a Bama guy. We'll see what's up. But I like where we're at with it. And those would be two really good closes. I think there's one or two more that we could probably get before a football season kickoff, when I'm pretty sure that Atlanta's in the top 10, seven, eight, nine-ish recruiting class, which after being the worst Florida recruiting offseason ever, that'd be a nice little ending for it, right?
Yeah, and then not too bad. Other names just to know, Cedric Baxter is going to be announcing on Wednesday of this week. It is likely going to be Texas, but his finalists are Florida, Miami, Texas, and Texas A&M. But no, Florida with Kelby Collins, and if they can get in Cam James as well, would be incredible for UF to start their season with probably still six or seven more spots available for them to move forward. It also does seem a name that we had talked about for most of the month of June and July would be athlete Dequavius Sori, who's a wide receiver and defensive back prospect. It does seem like his opportunity to commit has closed, and him and Florida have respectfully moved on from one another. Unless something changes, do not expect to see Dequavius Sori's name in this class anymore. Silk, any thoughts on that, or do you think Florida's really missing out, or kind of what are your thoughts?
No, I think the wide receiver, as you can see, the floor of it is raising. I think the other kid, Tyree, is going to end up possibly decommitting and maybe end up at somewhere like UCF. But the floor is raising a little bit with Andy Jean, Aiden Mazzell, Eugene Wilson. So wide receiver, Sori would have looked good maybe 3-4 months ago when we was dying to have some momentum for a four-star. But with where the defensive back is and wide receiver skill position recruiting is going right now, the floor has been raised. So a guy that you were taking as an athlete, tweener, trying to find a spot for him, yeah, he may have waited himself out of a position, I think.
Absolutely. Absolutely. In other news, a couple of former Florida Gators current and former Florida Gators, graduated this weekend. So I want to give a congratulations out to two in particular. While I do pull up the list, Randy Russell and James Robinson both announced that they graduated not too long ago last week. Both guys obviously had both of their careers cut short due to health issues, but great to see both of them around the program I know that Randy Russell's been around the program, but great to see both of them still in school and do finish their degrees and hopefully move on to bigger things in their career. I know Randy Russell Silk, I think you mentioned, is going to take an internship with the Philadelphia Eagles.
Yeah, yeah, real dope, man. I was just talking to my cousin this morning about using one of his Airbnbs to come check them out. I'll definitely come and check them out. I do want to give those guys just, you know, all their flowers for sticking through it, man. In our culture, it's easy to like get injured and think that's all your life is. It's just football. So just this is good to see. J-Rob barely got into UF. Like, it was a whole to-do, man. He worked hard all summer. They had a whole party when he came to camp and showed up. So I think it's just dope that that you see the finished product, and we taking care of Polk County a little bit, you know?
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. No, it's great to see them. Certainly wish them the best of luck. Dante Zanders also graduated this past week. Trent Whittemore, wide receiver. Brenton Cox as well graduated. So congratulations to those guys, and certainly Whittemore, Cox, and Zanders will have an opportunity this year on the football field, and certainly wish Randy Russell and James Robinson best of luck in their future careers. And once a Gator, certainly always a Gator. Silk, before we get to the last ad read, Nick mentioned it earlier when we were talking to JD. Are you surprised that the Gators were not ranked in the coaches poll today?
Nah, man. After that final product that you saw last year, a checked out team, wasn't a lot of positives to hang your hat on. A lot of these teams get their new season hype off of the final project from last year. So, nah, man, I like where we at with it. Rankings don't do anything for me as a fan. Let's see how we finish the season, but I want to be slept on a little bit. I want these guys to feel like they need to earn, you know, saying the hype. So, yeah, the radar's off of us. We coming in chilling. The expectations are low. I like it.
Yep. Yeah. Let me just pull up. I was just looking at it, and then I just clicked.
It's low nationally. They ain't low for me. I got lofty expectations for AR in this season and catching guys off guard because they don't know what we're about to run. Louisiana never ran what we're about to run with this freak of a quarterback we got. So it's going to look different than any of these coaches could prepare for. So I got some high expectations. But nationally, I like how under radar we are. It's dope.
Yeah, the Gators right now are slated to play against number 8 Utah, and then three SEC teams that are ranked in the top 25. Georgia's ranked number 3, Texas A&M number 7, and Kentucky 21. So certainly this is just a preseason poll. It does not mean anything, and the Gators will have an opportunity to move up in those rankings starting in week one. So certainly we wish, or certainly we're going to watch to see where the Gators finish up. As always, let's end the show. Silk, you'll have Song of the Week. While you think of that, we did not mention our friends over at Home Field Apparel. Visit them, homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale. You will get 15% off of your order. Best vintage tees in the game for the University of Florida, as well as about 50 other schools as well. You're going to find unique products that you will not see anywhere. So visit homefieldapparel.com. Use promo code Stadium and Gale and get 15% off of your order. As a reminder, visit the Stadium and Gale shop. We're asking you to spend a lot of money, but that's okay. All goes to good causes and making your closet the best it can be for the fall. Visit stadiumandgale.com and click shop and take a look at all the new designs that we have. Also, while you're there, go visit the Stadium and Gale blog. We have a bunch of great writers led by our editor-in-chief, Connor Clark, pushing out new articles for you, whether it's about recruiting, whether it's about the top 5 hot takes for this season, or whether it's a season preview. Go visit those guys. Please support Allen Horn Insurance, Gramco, Home Field Apparel, Alumni Hall, and then our new sponsors, True Classic Tees, all by using their respective promo codes. So why don't you take us out with Song of the Week?
No doubt. Let me go with my local man. Let me get my guy out of the Broward. Paint and Silk is a song. His name is Casso. That's what we'll go with.
Casso?
Casso. C-A double sign, money sign, money sign, O. C-A money sign, money sign, O. It's called Paint and Silk.
Paint and Silk. Perfect.
Sip. Paint and Sip.
Oh, paint and sip.
Paint. like paint and sip.
Yeah. Like you're going to paint.
Paint and sip.
Let's move. Perfect. Love it. So same corner, same time next week.
Same corner, same time, man. Oh, we didn't do Manscaped, man. Be sure to visit manscaped.com. Use coupon code SG25 at checkout, man. They got the lawnmower 4.0. Gonna get you right, man. Have everything squeaky clean, no Harry Larry. And they also got the weed whacker to hit the nose and the earlobes. Feel me? They have body wash, they have deodorant, they have ball deodorant. Anything you need to stay fresh, visit manscaped.com. Use coupon code SG25 for 25% off and free shipping.
And thanks for everybody that joined us on YouTube. As always, when we do a live stream of our podcast, we try to feature as many comments on there as well. We'll see you guys next week.
Alrighty. Same corner, same time.
What's that feel, baby? I advise you to get some wine for this one. Roll up something nice. Keep it player, that's a fact. I ain't never going back. Couple bitches, good smoke, sip some wine, just relax. Come on, open eyes, staying cautious, I can't lack. We ain't tripping off no bread, hustlers make it right back. And my city tucked off, probably hit the juice bar. I can't focus on them losses, I done made it too far. Poker facing with my bitch, up, we call a loose dog. Only need about 10 minutes, talk her out of skirt, dog. Got a little text, so I gotta skirt off. Handle business on this mission, you just gotta work hard. Solidifying positions, cover ground when you pimpin'. Say I'm charismatic, always asking if I'm pimping. I ain't got no game, you just fucking with the realest. Out of West Palm, told the Raider more to kill it. Focus on what matters, nigga, get about your feelings. We ain't tripping off for much, busy plotting on these millions. Keep it player, that's a fact, I ain't never going back. Couple bitches, good smoke, sip some wine, just relax. Come on, open eyes, staying cautious, I can't lack. We ain't tripping off no bread, hustlers make it right back. Keep it player, that's a fact, I ain't never going back. Couple bitches, good smoke, sip some wine, just relax. Come on, open eyes, staying cautious, I can't lack. We ain't tripping off no bread, hustlers make it right back. Put your ears like crap, baby girl, I'm your dealer. Prescribe me what you need, turn me up on your speakers. Since the poppy seed, Ben knew I was the nigga. Pino bottle, surrounded by my niggas. Couple bad women, some bougie, others chilling. Thinking mad figures, switching lanes down the district. All this pain in me, still learning how to deal with them bitter situations, processing my feelings. I made a lot of changes in my life. I'd be a sucker if I ever double back. Way too focused on cutting all of these tracks. That feel, motherfuckers, two-stepping in the back. With a glass full of wine, count my blessings every time. Yeah. Count my blessings every time. With a glass full of wine, count my blessings every time. Count my blessings, yeah. Keep it player, that's a fact. I ain't never going back. Couple bitches, good smoke, sip some wine, just relax. Come on, open eyes, staying cautious, I can't lack. We ain't tripping off no bread, hustlers make it right back. Keep it player, that's a fact. I ain't never going back. Couple bitches, good smoke, sip some wine, just relax. Come on, open eyes, staying cautious, I can't lack. We ain't tripping off no bread, hustlers make it right back.
Cup returns to Columbus. Your reigning League's Cup champion Columbus Crew are hosting three matches at Lower.com Field. Come out and watch the crew take on teams from Liga MX, Toluca, Puebla, and Leon starting July 29th. Grab your tickets now at ColumbusCrew.com and watch the best in North America battle to keep the trophy at home in Columbus. No ties, only wins. Major League Soccer versus Liga MX. League's Cup returns to Columbus, Ohio. Be there.